Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, hey, you made it. You're here. So good to see you. So glad to spend some time with you. And I want you to know that I missed you last week, but Dante did such an incredible job. The message was so good. So good. Real quick before we jump into our new series, and I don't know if you caught the email this past week, but I've got great news for you. We've been planning, we've been praying a lot these last several months, figuring out when's going to be the right time to reopen our in-person kids services. And the great news is next week, we're going to reopen them in our 11 a.m. service, this service. That's all the moms and dads, like my wife and I, that are cheering. So we're so excited about that. But that's not all. Here, this is really cool, too, that also next week in our 11 a.m. service, we're going to launch a brand new ministry called Impact AM. And that's for our middle schoolers, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. You're going to join mom and dad, whoever brings you, for the worship part of the service, the lifting of hands, the singing the songs, and then kind of like in the middle when those videos begin to play before I get up here to preach, you're going to sneak out into the lobby and all the middle schoolers with our leaders are going to head upstairs. Yes, we have an upstairs. A lot of people don't know that. So we got a student ministry, games, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a small group environment, and there's going to be free food there too. So really excited about that beginning next week. So let me break down kind of the new Sunday ministry plan. We're going to have the 9:30 and 11 a.m. service like we've been having, okay? That's not changing in person and also online or on our different platforms. But here's what will be different. During the 11 a.m. service only, we'll have the kids ministry and the kids classes. And during 11 a.m. only, we'll have Impact AM as well. And so if you come to the 9:30, I know this is the 11, but if you come to the 9:30 with your kids, they'll just hang out with you like we've been doing. So that won't change, but we're really excited about what's to come. Well, the reason why my family and I were out of town this past week is for a few days we went to Galveston. And I know you're thinking, what's so great about Galveston? But it's great to us because we're not from Houston. Like, I know to you it's mud water, and that's reality. But for us, we didn't have that mud water back in Dallas, okay? So we get excited about it, and we had a great few days there this past weekend. And really, we spent as much time as we could on the beach. And like, we've got three young kids, and my mom also came with us, and we just had a great time, and we had the waves crashing in, and we had the cool breeze that goes by, and just, it was an amazing time. And I came back, it was just a few days, but I came back like recharged, re-energized, ready to take on the world. And I say that to say this: that's what we're hoping for you in this series, that it would be a breath of fresh air, that it would be a cool breeze, like fresh wind in your sails, because we all know we are stressed, like stressed beyond stress. In fact, I can see your faces. I'll just tell you, you're stressed, okay? Like, there's anxiety, there's fear. Like, we're stressed about the virus. We're stressed about politics, oh, help us, Jesus. Like, we're stressed about marriage or singleness or kids, or we don't have kids, but we want kids. I mean, there's just all this stress and anxiety going on. And so, again, our hope is that you'd be encouraged, that you would feel like this series is a breath of fresh air for you. We all need this series, is what I'm saying. So I want to jump right in to the message and message notes. If you're here in the room, we have for free in the back, if you haven't got one yet, a Heaven Full notebook. They're free. They're for your benefit, that you would take notes during the service. And so get that ready if you've got one. And then also get your Bible ready. We're going to be in Mark chapter 14 today. Mark chapter 14. We've also got digital notes on the Bible app, YouVersion Bible app. But we're going to be in Mark chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 32, and then we're going to go all the way through verse 42. And for those of us that have maybe read this passage before, I'm asking that you would invite the Holy Spirit to give you fresh perspective, fresh eyes as we come upon Jesus in the garden. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane. It's a garden. And Jesus said to his disciples, his best friends, "Sit here while I pray." But notice he didn't take all 12 disciples. He took three, his best friends, Peter, James, and little John, along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Notice, this is Jesus. He is stressed. He says this, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." Verse 35. "Going a little farther in the garden, he fell to the ground. And what did he do? He prayed that if it's possible, the hour might pass from him." Verse 36, what does he call? How does he call to God? He calls him Abba, Father. If you're taking notes, I would highlight that phrase. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will," or you could say, "yet not what I feel," not what I want, but what you want, God. Then he returned to his friends, and they were sleeping, y'all. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away, and check this out, prayed the same thing. Same thing. He prays the same thing, and when he came back, guess what, y'all? They were sleeping again. Their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." For those taking notes, I'm calling part one of this series, Stress Less. Like we want less stress, don't we? Stress Less. And today's going to be such a great day that I got a subtitle, okay? So just get ready. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's either going to be a great day or maybe I just couldn't choose. That's why there's a subtitle. But either way, here's my subtitle. How to survive the worst day of your life. How to survive the worst day of your life. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And I thank you. What a great service we had in the 9:30 fire, Lord. And so excited for the 11 a.m. thunder here. I just pray, God, that you would move powerfully in the midst here in the room and also those watching online in other rooms. God, may we all lean in. Again, I pray for fresh eyes as we go through this passage. I pray for fresh revelation from on high. I pray, God, that you would give us practical takeaways that we can take the things we talk about today, what we see with Jesus, and apply them to our Monday morning world. And so, God, may you have your way, and of course, be with every hurting heart because the Astros aren't doing good and the Rockets are out of the playoffs, and we don't even want to talk about Thursday night, what happened with the Chiefs. Help us, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm hurting. I'm mourning. Anyways, we just read such an eye-opening passage, and I want you to notice what I'm about to say about Jesus's struggle. Like, he's struggling. Like we see Jesus, and yes, he is fully God, no doubt about it, but it is also sound theology to understand that he was also fully man, fully God and fully man, and we see Jesus lean into his humanity here, his struggle in the garden. Now, for those that don't know, right before this, Jesus has been betrayed by one of his best friends, Judas. Jesus is full aware. It's been going on in the background. It's about to come into the foreground right after verse 42. But Jesus is full aware of what's happened to him. A best friend who he did ministry with for years, stabbing him in the back. But not just that. Jesus, being fully God, he knows the mocking that's coming. He knows the beating that's coming. He knows the excruciating death that's coming for him. And worst of all, don't miss this. Worst of all, he knew that he was about to have to bear the weight of the sin of the entire world. Just think about that. Past, present, future, all of the sin put upon him in one moment. Think about your worst dark secret, your sin, times that by billions, and that's Jesus in one moment, and it's about to happen and be placed on him, completely separating him from God, which is what sin does, by the way. And so Jesus, he knows what's happening in the background. He knows what's about to come and be made to light here in the foreground. And being fully God and fully man, we have great insight into how he handled overwhelming stress, overwhelming anxiety. And I've read this passage a whole bunch of times, but God has given me fresh revelation, and it's going to help somebody here today. Because we see, check this out, Jesus faced the worst thing imaginable, yet kept his faith. Jesus faced the hardest situation you could ever face, but he kept on moving forward. And so this message is going to be very practical. It may seem too simple from the outside looking in, but I wonder today, as we talk about these things that Jesus did, are you living it out? You can amen it on a Sunday. You can cheer on a Sunday. You can nod your head up and down on a Sunday. But Monday through Saturday, are you doing what Jesus did? Because it worked for him and it will work for you. And so if I'm stressed out, if I'm anxious, if I'm overwhelmed, I'm taking some really good notes today. Number one is this. Here's the first thing Jesus did in the garden, the first thing we should do when we're stressed out. Number one, surround yourself wisely. Would you write that down today? Surround yourself wisely. I'll tell it to you in another way. Get in community. Get in community. This is verse 33. What did Jesus do when he was stressed? We see it here in the passage. He talked with his godly friends. He did. Like, oh, it's too simple, Pastor. I know it's simple, but do you do that? Do you do that when you're stressed out? He talked to his godly friends. This is really important. He talked to friends who knew him. He was doing life with them, ministry with them every day together. People who knew him, knew the pain, knew the hurts, knew the struggles that they all faced. But not only did they know him, they loved him. Like, truly loved him, not in an artificial way or superficial way, a real, authentic way. But you can't miss this part. They also loved God. And so we get those first two parts right often. Oh, they know me. They love me, because oftentimes it's a family member, like they're supposed to love us, right? But do they love God? Are they living for God? They loved Jesus. They loved the Lord. And he surrounded himself, remember, not with the 12. Now, Judas was off betraying him, so really it's 11 at this point. But he didn't bring all 11 to the garden, did he? He surrounded himself wisely with three of his closest friends. And I missed this for years. I've read the Bible cover to cover many different times, okay? And I missed this for years. Notice what we just read. He starts off talking to the disciples, telling Peter, James, and John how he feels. I always assumed that he was talking to God, and we'll get to that in a moment. But he's actually talking to the disciples at the beginning. What does he say? I'm paraphrasing here. He says, I'm deeply overwhelmed, and I'm stressed out of my mind. That's what he tells them. He's not talking to God yet. He's talking to his godly friends. The Message paraphrase explains his stress this way, and I think it's so helpful because a lot of us feel this. Verse 33, he plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. That's how he feels. That's the weight. That's what's going on. And some of you are like, man, that is me. I'm in a sinkhole, Pastor. Like this is dreadful. This is not good. Jesus is real, honest with his godly friends. And I got to tell you, I honestly believe that one of the major reasons that people are so anxious right now is because we are so isolated. It's just the truth. Whether you choose to take your medicine or not, it's the truth, y'all. Like, we are so isolated. We lack community. And I get it. It sounds ironic talking to a room full of people. Like, well, while I'm here, I made it. And again, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it. But how many of y'all know, like, you can be in a crowd and not have community? Like you go to Walmart later, you're in a crowd, but it ain't community. How many of y'all know there's some weird people in Walmart, y'all? Like real, there's whole like Twitter feeds, like taking pictures of people in Walmart. Like wear some shoes, you know what I'm saying? Like it's so weird. But that's not community. Those people don't know you. In fact, you don't want them to get to know you, right? Like they don't know you in Walmart, but you're in a crowd and you can be in a church building around other people, but no one knows you. You're not real with them. There's no authentic relationship. There's no godly community. And so you got to get in community. It was important to Jesus, and it should be important to you. In fact, we're doubling down on this when it comes to our church and connect groups or small groups, whatever you want to call them. Like, it's a big deal to us. That's why I've told you this, that every staff member, including myself, every elder in our church, we're either leading a group or attending a group. It's a big deal. But I'm going to take away every excuse today, because somebody's going to say, well, there's not a group that fits my schedule, or not a group I feel like I can relate with. And I don't know, Pastor, I'm going to take away your excuse right now. And I mean this sincerely. Call me if that's the case. Email me. I came to Houston on a mission with my family to do life together with other people. All the information's in your worship guide. All the information's online. Like, seriously, call me. Email me. You need somebody in your life. Can I shout any louder? Hear me. You need somebody in your life who knows you, loves you, and loves God. It's just the reality. And if you don't have that, you're in danger. Like Jesus modeled it so well. We need community. Like even if you're nervous being around other people, like I'll buy a hazmat suit on eBay, y'all. Like whatever I got to do to make sure you're comfortable, we'll Skype, we'll Zoom, we'll FaceTime. What else is there? Old Microsoft Teams meetings, whatever it's called. Like, I'll do whatever it takes. But we got to get into community. Here's the deal. Going back to the very beginning of this book, Genesis, which means book of beginnings, by the way. What did God say to Adam? It is not good for man to be alone. So what this tells us is right from the beginning, God knew, not extrovert, introvert, that kind of, no, everybody, that you need godly community. No wonder why you're anxious. Yeah, you got 1,000 followers on Instagram. Those aren't real friends. You can't call them and they'll pick up on the other line and pray with you, meet with you. Like, have your 1,000 friends, okay? But that's not real authentic community. We need this. So here's the practical application point number one. Do you have someone in your life who knows you, loves you, and lives for Jesus? Like, ask yourself that honestly. And if the answer is no, call me. Email me. I would love to be that person to help you on your journey with Jesus. You need somebody. Get in a group. Get in community. It is critical. Now, looking at the story, I just got to say this. In fact, I didn't say it first service, but look at the story. Like the disciples weren't that great a help to Jesus. Let's just be real. Right? Like they were up late the night before playing Warzone or Fall Guy or something, you know, like they're falling asleep. So let's just say it like it is, okay? Like they weren't so great of help. But again, Jesus modeled this for us. If Jesus made sure to have the right people around him, we should too. Here's the second thing Jesus did. It's simple, but are you living it out? Something you should do too when you're stressed. Number two, spend time in God's presence. Spend time in God's presence. I'll say it to you another way. Get away to pray. Get in community and get away to pray. Verse 32, verse 35, and verse 39. What did Jesus do? He talked to his godly friends, but he also talked to God his Father. This is really important. And he talked to him over and over again, right? Three times. And what did we read? He was praying the same thing, the same thing. And Jesus, if you know anything about his time spent in earthly ministry, he did this constantly. He had crowds all around him. He had community with his disciples, but he would consistently, a part of his rhythm, a part of his flow, a part of his routine, he would get away to pray. He would trick people, get in a boat, go to the other side, and a lot of times they'd figure it out and meet him there. But then he'd go up on top of a mountain. He would get up early. He did all of these things to consistently get away and to pray, to share his cares with God
The Father,
I'll say it to you this way, he took his anxiety to the right place and the right person. Where are you taking your anxiety? To social media, you know, to news, to try to, I mean, that's a horrible place, by the way, but just give something, to, you know, see something and hear something. Like what do? You go to that friend that their life is falling apart. Why are you going to them? Then you may feel better about your life because your life is not as bad as theirs, but still, like have that friend, but that should not be your best friend. Your best friends, your closest friends should be living for God, on fire for God. Like where are you going? Are you getting in community? Are you getting away to pray and spend time with God, bringing your cares, bringing your anxiety before him? And speaking of anxiety, now it's going to sound random, but hang with me. We all have big things that cause us anxiety, but how many of y'all know we got little things that cause us anxiety? One for me, maybe for you, but one for me is throughout the years, I've mostly had used cars. Like maybe you always got a new car and that's cool. Don't hate on my 2006 Toyota Corolla white. It's right there. And y'all jealous, I know. But but like I got used cars most of my life. And so one thing that causes me great anxiety, and some can relate to this, is it seems like every time that my yearly inspection is coming up, that check engine light pops on. Anybody relate with your pastor here today? Yeah, I got some friends. Yeah, like our car is old and we don't have a car payment, but man, that check engine light causes some stress, y'all. And you take it to AutoZone and you just hope they can clear it long enough for it not to pop back up when it gets inspected. Is that bad? I don't know, but I do it, y'all. And I'm just trying to do whatever I can to get it to pass. And it causes me stress. In fact, my Apple Watch tells me when I'm stressed. It says breathe. It told me that earlier today. It tells me that most days, y'all. Like breathe, and I just silence it. But man, that causes me great anxiety and great stress. And here's what we know about the check engine light. Like the check engine light's not the problem with my Corolla. It's a signal of the problem, right? Like that's not the problem. It's telling me there's a problem underneath the hood. And friend, that's what anxiety is for you. In fact, if you're taking notes, would you write this down? Anxiety is your signal to pray. I'm going to say that again because you didn't catch it all the way. Anxiety is a signal to you. God's letting you know there's a problem underneath the hood and you need to pray. You need to get away to pray. You need to spend time in God's presence, not like presence, not just as a last resort, but continually coming before God. God, this is a problem. God, this is hurting here. And here's what we do. A lot of times we think anxiety is all about the situation that we're in. And yes, that's a part of it. Don't get me wrong. But anxiety is truly telling you the problem really lies within. It's an inward problem. How many of y'all know, and I know it sounds just so crazy, but people were stressed out in 2019 too. And guess what? This is all going to go away one day. And when it does, people will still be stressed out. The situation changes. But how many of y'all know the anxiety stays for a lot of people? And so maybe, this is crazy, I know, but maybe the problem's not your situation. Maybe the problem's you. Y'all don't love me anymore. I don't feel love anymore. I try to tell like it is. Anxiety is a signal. It's time to pray. What does 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 say? Cast all your anxiety on him. Like big stuff, little stuff, all of it, give it to God. Why? This is so encouraging. Because God cares for you. He cares for what you care for. In fact, I'll say it to you this way. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. Like he cares. He cares about the check engine light. He does. He cares about the little things. And you better believe he cares about the big things. And so Jesus, showing us such a great example, he comes to God the Father. He goes off a little further. His disciples are there. He's, you know, hoping they would support. They're falling asleep. We talked about that. He's praying. In fact, he gets down on his face at one point. We read that too. And how does he talk to God? So important. He calls God Abba, Father. And several people in our church, you've studied this before, but this is essentially Jesus calling God Dad. Daddy. Dad, I think about my kids. I've got three young ones. They don't call me Ryan. If they call me Ryan, I mean mug them. Whose kid are you? Who are you talking to? Right? I'm not Ryan to my kids. Who am I? I'm dad. I'm daddy. Sometimes Luke, our oldest, calls me Big D. They can call me Padre. My wife's Hispanic. I don't care, but it ain't Ryan, right? I'm dad. There's a relationship there. Are you catching what I'm saying? There's a it ain't religion. It's a relationship. He calls out to God in the same way that a child would call out to their father. Dad, I need help. You need to know this before we move on, that if what you face, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. You do a great job worrying about it, friend. Maybe not so great of a job praying about it. So if you're worried about getting sick, pray about it. If you're worried about getting COVID tested and they shove that Q-tip all the way up your nose, they tickle your brain, they go through your left ear. You know, if you're worried about that, pray about it. Like, pray about it. If you're worried about your marriage, pray about it. If you're worried about your singleness, pray about it. If you're worried about your kids, pray about it. You're worried about your job, finances, pray about it. Jesus talked to his godly friends. He talked to God, his Father. And this last part is the hardest part. This part's hard. I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm going to tell you in advance, it is way easier to preach and it's way easier to amen here on a Sunday, but it's so hard to live out. But it's necessary. It's important. If I'm taking notes, I'm writing this down. Number three, the third thing Jesus did, the third thing you need to do is surrender your emotions. I got a few more amens than I thought right there. I'll take them because this is hard. Surrender your emotions. I'll say it to you in another way. Give in to God's way. I didn't say give up. I said give in to God's way. This is verse 36. What else did Jesus do when he was stressed? I missed this for so many years. Notice in verse 36, yes, he's talking to God, but he's also talking to his feelings. Like, this is fresh revelation. He called out his feelings. Some of y'all need to call out your feelings. Like, he shared how he felt to God, but he doesn't let his feelings be the boss. And for far too many Christians, if you're not a Christian, I'm not talking to you for the next few moments. Far too many Christians are led by their feelings. Jesus is not the CEO of their life, their feelings are. Why'd you end that relationship? I felt like it. Why'd you move? I felt like it. Why'd you say that? I felt like it. Why'd you post that on social media? Because I felt like it. It's what so many people do. In fact, if you're a leader, would you write this down? Choices lead and then feelings follow. This is the life God has called you to live. How many of y'all know feelings change? They should not be in the driver's seat of your life. I'm trying to help you. Like, I love you so much. This will save you so much pain, so much hurt. Jesus is like this. God, I don't want to face this. And who would, right? We talked about it. Jesus is like, God, I don't feel like it. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be abused. I don't want to be neglected or hurt. I don't want to suffer all the physical, emotional, and spiritual pain that I know is to come, and it's coming quickly, but not what I feel, what you want. I don't feel like it, God, Jesus is saying, clear as day. I don't feel like it, but I want your will, not my will. And this is a game changer. It's a game changer. Like, somebody here, you need to start speaking truth over your feelings. Yeah, I feel this way, Pastor. I feel this way, but God has something better for me. Yeah, I feel this way, but God knows best. Yeah, I feel this way, Pastor, but I'm just believing in faith that God's got something for me on the other side. Like, maybe you feel like God doesn't love you. People say that all the time. I just don't feel like God loves me. And you need to know today that if you feel that way, that's not true. Speak truth over your feelings. Remind yourself that God is love. That even in your sin, God loves you and Jesus died for you. Like maybe you're here today and you feel all alone. So many people this year, that's been the number one. Like I just feel alone. I feel all by myself. And if you feel that way, you need to remind yourself that even if everyone else leaves, God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And that's not just a Christmas thing. That's an every day of your life thing. He's with you. He loves you. And if you surrender your life to Jesus, God tells us the Holy Spirit actually lives in you. There's nowhere you go that he's not there. Maybe you feel like you can't go on. I've heard that so much. I don't know. You know, especially I know it hit a lot of people in East Texas and Louisiana, of course. But when that hurricane was coming for us, Laura's like, everybody's like, well, I don't, figures, you know, 2020, another thing, right? It's just, and so many people are like, I just can't go on. It's just so much. And maybe you've said that if you're honest. You don't feel like you can go on. You need to remind yourself today that you can with Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody needs to speak some truth over your feelings that I am not a victim. I am a victor. That I'm an overcomer. That I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's not a verse for someone else. That's my verse. What did Jesus do when he faced crippling anxiety, stress, and pain? He talked to godly friends. He talked to God his Father. He spent time in his presence. He spoke truth over his feelings. You could say it this way. He surrendered to God's will. Check this out. He did those three things and it worked. You tried everything else. It's not working, is it? I don't have to interview you to know that answer. It's not working. That substance isn't working. That secret relationship isn't working. The way you're cheating there or doing this there, like it's not working. The way that you're knocking over every colleague at the office. I know you're working from home, but at the office, they're trying to get above them, go beyond them, belittling others so you can rise up. It's not working, is it? If I just get a new job or a bigger house or a bigger this or more money, then it's gonna, no, it's not working, is it? What Jesus did, simple and practical, it worked. It worked for him and it will work for you. But are you gonna live it out? So here's the part of the message where it goes from my prep and my study and my prayer, and I place it in your hands. Because you can blame COVID-19 for your stress, or you can realize that you were stressed in 2022 and that you'll be stressed again in 2021 if you don't let God deal with the root issue, that there's a problem underneath the hood. It's not about your situation that you face. Man, I'm preaching real hard truth today, I know. I know it's hard, but it's so important. I care about you. Jesus did these three things and it worked. Almost everybody knows the end of the story, that Judas betrays him with a kiss. Jesus is arrested. He's falsely charged. He's whipped, he's beaten, they take off his clothes, they spit on him, mock him. They shove that crown of thorns deep into his skull. Many of us have seen the Passion, but it doesn't do justice to what really happened. It's brutal. He was whipped, made him carry his own cross. And when he actually was nailed to that cross, what does the Bible say? At the end of his life, Jesus said these words, "It is finished." What he did, it worked. And it will work for you. The problem is not your situation. The problem lies with us. What are you going to do tomorrow? Man, I could tell the Holy Spirit's convicting some people. What are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to get in community? Are you going to get away to pray? Are you going to give in not to your feelings, but to God's way? Like, God cares about how you feel. Tell him how you feel. Jesus did that. But where did he end up? Yet not my will, but yours. This is the life God has called you to. But this message is now passed on to you, and it's up to you to live it out. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray right now for all my friends. I know it's a hard word, but I believe it's in season. It's for today. And I pray, God, wherever you're leading, maybe we need to do all three. Maybe it's one of the three. Maybe it's two of the three. But I pray, God, we begin to live this out. I've done my part. The message is now in their hands. It worked with you, Jesus. And it will work for us no matter what we face. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would receive from you right now. And we begin to live out the kind of life you've called us to live. The truth is, there's something that's going to come next once COVID is done. And if we don't invite you in to deal with the root issue, the common denominator when it comes to our stress, us, then it's just going to be something else that's going to bring us stress. Something else is going to cause us anxiety. Help us to learn from you, Jesus, that even though you were in a sinkhole of dreadful agony, you kept the faith. You fulfilled your call. You said, it is finished. Give us the strength and power to live that kind of life. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here in this room. Maybe you're watching from another room. Maybe you're watching on demand on YouTube, like months later, maybe even years later. I don't know. But you're here listening, and maybe you're far from God. There's not a relationship. I'm not talking about church attendance or religion. I'm talking about a relationship. And if you're underneath the sound of my voice and you're far from God, I want to give you a chance to make things right. Not about what you can do, but what Jesus has already done for you. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace through faith. So today that can change. Even if you feel like you're 1,000 steps away from God, it only takes one step to get right back where you need to be. To surrender your life to him, maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in a long time. Before we end this service and before we get you out those doors or you turn off the computer or the phone, don't miss this moment where you have a great chance. You don't know if you'll have another one, but you've got an opportunity to get your life right with Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand. We don't have some room ready to usher you into, but right where you're seated, in person, online, I want to pray with you, those that you're far from God. I want to lead you in a prayer. It's nothing fancy or mystical about it. It's just a prayer where you say, Jesus, I'm not enough. You are enough. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. That's it. And the Bible tells us that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Don't wait till tomorrow or next week or when I'm older or when this happens. Now is the moment. Now is the time of salvation. This is your chance. So no one looking but me, eyes are closed. If you're here today and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, first time or first time in a long time, I want to know who I'm about to lead in a prayer. Would you raise your hand? Jesus sees you. He loves you. He cares for you. Thank you so much. Once it's up, you can put it down. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Respond online as well. Here's what we're going to do. Keep those eyes closed. We're almost done, but don't miss this. Those that raised your hand a moment ago and all the Jesus followers as support, I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me out loud. To mean it with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And as you say this out loud to God, he hears you and he will save you. No doubt about it. You can know that you know that you know that your eternity will be in heaven with Jesus. What an incredible gift. So those that raise your hand and all the Jesus followers, say this after me out loud. Jesus, come on, say that again. Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Jesus, I believe. Come on, say that again. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, I put my trust, I put my faith in you. Holy Spirit, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.